City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Behnke, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are coming to you live from the LiveX studios here in Midtown Manhattan. We are ready to talk some Packers. So, Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap today?
Today, we're going to bask in the glow of the Packers' first shutout victory since XLV season and get ready for the Lions' Den. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
the defense.
We got the bad. We got
the offense.
We got the ugly. We got
Josh Allen. Rough outing for the rookie after going into Minnesota and looking all world. Mike Pettine and company said, not today, rookie, not today. Corey Behnke, how the hell are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Good times. We're live, kid. Live. Coming to you live, as we always do on a Wednesday. Mr. Behnke, how was the game? How was the experience of Lambeau Field during a shutout?
I liked it.
Yeah?
It was enjoyable.
Yeah.
You know, I was in row 120, so it's...
You were, like, right up in front.
It's an older row. It's an older section, if you were. It's, you know, I saw the back and forth of people not understanding. I mean, I have my whole, like, you know, third down, like, what I do.
Man, the third down conversation.
It's really crazy because I have this whole thing down, right? It's like, I try to get everybody up.
Right.
I get up, I stand up, right. And then right as they're getting down, like, right as they're kind of starting, I sit down so everyone knows. But what was funny is I didn't tweet this out, but there was, okay, and you know, I don't want to hate on disabled people because they... I almost made you do a spit
take. You almost made me snarf.
So I don't want to hate on disabled people.
That's good. The not wanting to hate on disabled people is a bar.
Because look.
I'm glad you're not going below.
People with disabilities, they have every right to be at the game as you and I.
Of course.
But there's like a place, like above row 60, there's a place. And if you can't stand or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, and I've heard this many times in Lambeau Field, and I kind of think it's a little bit of BS. But so there's these women behind us, and there's always inevitably in 120, 122, inevitably new people. They haven't been to Lambeau.
Sure.
They don't understand that, you know what, you're not supposed to stand when the defense is there, even though that's how they do it in every other stadium.
Right.
This was funny. This was during halftime. The Wisconsin marching band's out there.
Oh, God.
And people are standing. And, like, I'm in the third row. So, you know, if you stand one or two rows, like, you just got to start standing up. So I'm not standing. I'm sitting. And this woman is, like, yelling at this guy two rows ahead of me. And she's like, can you please sit down? My friend just had leg surgery. And, like, in my head.
Yeah, but you came to a football game.
But that's the thing. I'm like,
you
in my head.
You didn't come to theater.
And this is the thing about Lambeau. It's like, those are bleacher seats. If you had leg surgery or knee surgery or something, don't sit on them.
Maybe don't sit on a bleacher for 3 hours.
I don't think your doctor wants that. So go, just stay home, stay on your couch.
Exactly.
It's fine. And that's why I prefaced why I did. Because it's like, you know, if I would have put that on Twitter,
right.
You inevitably, I would be destroyed by the fact that, you know.
The PC police would have been coming after you. But it's true. That's like, I have a friend of my parents, Jeff, who in Milwaukee, who was like, because I said seat backs for the week. That's kind of a joke, but I actually kind of mean it too. But he's like, well, you know, the old people, they need the seat backs. And that's fine. I get that. But this whole idea of like, I can't stand up through the whole game. I'm old. I'm not asking for the whole game. I'm asking you to get up on third down when the team is on defense and they need the energy. You're part of the experience. You're part of the game. If you can't handle that awesome responsibility, don't go to the game.
It's very true. And there's a ton of people.
There's 60,000 people behind you ready to stand up on third down.
There are a ton of people who don't even make noise on defense.
It blows my mind. Why are you there? Why are you there?
Why are you there?
That's just, I can't.
But like, I honestly think there was a woman in front of me, and this has happened to me a lot. I've taken, look, I've changed the way that I am as a fan to acclimate to Lambeau Field, right? Because that's how Lambeau Field is. You can't change it.
Enough that you have to.
One
person
is never going to change Lambeau Field. The only way, it's a generational thing, and you can see it, like 120 and 122, which are rows behind the Packers, they're world famous rows, sections.
Right.
They used to be older and they've actually gotten younger. But when you have a generational shift at Lambeau, you don't go from like 60-year-olds to 20-year-olds.
Right.
You go from like 60-year-olds to 50-year-olds. And now those people are going up in the ranks. And it's really fascinating. There was a time I thought the lady was in front of me was going to turn around and go, "Can you please be quiet during third down?" Now I am making noise on every down on defense.
This is what you do.
Right. But, you know, I get obviously increasingly louder because I don't like to lose my voice. I have a certain register that if I stay in that register, like I won't, it'll be fine. I've got this down, right? But it is kind of fascinating. You know, we bitch about it all the time. And I kind of have gotten over it now, but it's funny to see people on Twitter that have never been to a game that
like it blows their mind.
The first time you go to Lambeau and that happens to you, you're kind of like, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. And they don't believe you. Like, people wouldn't believe me when I told them that. And then I showed that clip from the CBS broadcast of the one dude on the first big third down. Buffalo's backed up. And there's literally one guy in the middle of the shot up on his feet.
That's like, me,
trying
usually
to get people to stand up, and no one's standing.
Yep. And a lot of people are like, hey, my section, as you get up and you get to the higher sections, you get to the quote-unquote cheap seats, which there are no cheap seats in Lambeau. I have not sat in a seat that I thought didn't have some positive aspects to it. There's no bad seats, but as you get up higher in the less expensive seats, people are, this is their first time. They're a little rowdier. Yeah.
I agree. All right. We had to get out of the way, had to get out of the system. Time to get to your Packers news, people. We got to talk some news. A number one, he's the face of the franchise. You got to talk about him first. Aaron Rodgers, no practice for Aaron Rodgers on Wednesday. Now,
yeah, but this is par for the course.
This is the new norm, but hey, it's still a newsworthy thing because, look, Rodgers practiced on Thursday for the first time since injuring his knee in the opener last week. So I think there may have been some hope, some expectation, maybe he would push it to a practicing on all week, Wednesday through Saturday, etc., but not to be. Still held out of practice this Wednesday. It's just notable because of the issues they're having on offense. You have to think some of that is about the quarterback and the receivers and the team not playing, not practicing together. I think that plays into it.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So, well, I mean, I printed out these stats here, Nagler.
You printed out stats. I know. I was very excited. I
didn't believe it.
I went to the printer in the office and there were random Packers stats where there's usually like other stuff.
Well, here's the crazy thing. So in 4 weeks, right? 2-1-1.
So you're just going to derail the script right away.
No, we're talking about Rodgers. Okay. And I think this has a little bit to do, like, the fact that we are 19th in points, 17th in yards and 14th in passing yards. Like, we're right in the middle of the pack. And in some ways a little
kind of lagging behind
for the Green Bay Packer offense. Yep. This is unknown territory a little bit.
Well,
especially early in the season.
It speaks back to 2015 when they were struggling a little bit, I think. You know, it's not quite that bad, but it's similar in the sense that it's like it feels like uncharted territory.
You know, on the flip side, and we're going to talk about this later, so I'm not going to talk about it now. I'm going to tease that. I'm going to save that because I'm a little bit angry and I got a rant coming out, but I don't think we even have time for the full rant. And I pretty much think that everyone will unfollow me after I do my rant.
Oh, I know where you're going.
So, yeah. Cool. But yes, I mean, here's the crazy thing. Week four, and we get a shutout against a team that beat our rival.
Right. Beat them down. Spanked them in their own home stadium.
After the week when we had, you know, a crazy game with that same rival.
Right.
And the fan base, I don't know if it's the stupid Brewers. I don't know what it is, okay? But people got to get their stuff together. This is the Green Bay Packers, okay? Sure. This is not preseason anymore, okay? We just got a shutout. First shutout since 2010. And, like, you know, last night I tweeted this. I just, like, tweeted Green Bay Packers, like, as many times as, like,
all caps. I was wondering if you were having a stroke.
That was my feeling, was, like, there's too much other stuff around me right now.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I'm in October. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
I should be surrounded by the glory of the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
And I just wasn't feeling it in that moment.
I hear you.
And I still don't. I don't know. There's something about the fan base, and maybe it's too much social media. Maybe we just need to turn all the social media off. I don't know what it is. They're very annoying right now.
That'd be one way to not reach the people that tune in for our show, but no, it's good. It's good. I like it. Moving on in Packer news, Randall Cobb is in the rehab group, didn't practice. You know, he said to, I believe, Rob Domofsky earlier this week that, you know, he couldn't have even begun to go on Sunday. Doesn't sound like Randall's going to be back this week. It sounds like this could linger for a while. That's disconcerting. Speaking of wide receivers, Geronimo Allison still in the concussion protocol. Mm. And for the guys in the booth, this came out right before we went up live. So I apologize. We don't have a lower third for this. But Davante Adams popped up on the injury report with a calf injury.
Oh, Lord.
He was limited today. So that's all three of our top wide receivers. Two of them didn't practice today. Davante Adams is limited.
I got something for you.
I think there's a good chance we may see
MVS.
Some MVS.
MVS, baby.
Will be next up, but I think we'll also see some
Kumaro.
Well, Kumaro's on IR, so he can't.
Damn it.
And we may see some Jamon Moore.
Ooh, I hope we don't see Jamon Moore. I don't think Jamon Moore is ready for prime time.
Oh, I would tend to agree with you on that one. On the flip side, the good news is that Jair Alexander and Kevin King both practiced.
That's great.
Alexander's dealing with that groin injury. King with the shoulder. Both of them practice. That's promising. And then finally, this is exciting for you, Mr. Banky. I know you're always up on the latest when it comes to Titletown, when it comes to all the developments around the stadium. But phase two of the Titletown District
looks
set
great
to begin construction in the spring, including
residential
townhouses and apartments.
Yeah, so, it looks amazing.
It does look cool.
It looks actually cooler than when they first came out when they said they were doing residential townhomes, mm-hmm. when the first drawing and now to what they're getting and how they're going to wrap it. It's amazing. If you've ever been to Titletown District in Green Bay, when you go to Green Bay, 100% make sure to go to Hinterland. Check out Lodge Kohler. Even if you don't stay there, check it out.
Right.
Check out the football field and Aaron's Hill. It's really, really cool. Like, they've done everything the right way, which is something when you're talking about the Packers. They don't always do that. And especially the first time out, they tend to get it right over time. 1919, 1921 being a prime example, but they've done a really killer job. It's amazing. I mean, I can't, there's nothing like it in Northeast Wisconsin. There really isn't.
Well, the other thing is there's nothing like it around the NFL.
No, I mean, Arizona, they tried to have something similar that's close, but it's not anything like it.
Having traveled now to most of the NFL stadiums, there's some great locations, and there's some great stadiums and experiences, et cetera. But what they've done with Titletown is, like Green Bay, having a team itself is singularly unique, and I think it's pretty darn impressive.
And hopefully, by doing that, it gets us the draft.
Yeah. Big time. Although,
2021.
Trey may have left the station.
Come on. 2021, Nagler.
We'll
2021, Nagler.
All right, let's talk about the offense because there's a lot to talk about.
2021.
They haven't looked good. Okay, first and foremost, when it comes to the offense.
Hold on. They've looked good. I wouldn't have put them in the bad. I wouldn't have put the whole offense in the bad.
Well, they go in the bad.
Okay, well, that's fine. You get to make the editorial decisions, and I get to break them down and burn them to the ground.
Exactly.
So I wouldn't have necessarily put them in the bat, but, you know, there were a lot of green shoots. If McCarthy would just get his head out of his butt.
All right, don't go. It's not all McCarthy. Aaron Rodgers is at the line of scrimmage making things work.
So how do you determine when you're watching tape, okay? Mm-hmm. Do you have a little checklist that's like McCarthy or Rodgers, who's calling the play? Because
It's impossible to know. But that's my point. So how can you place all the blame on McCarthy?
Well,
when it is literally impossible to know.
Let me just share a little stat with you.
Please do.
This is good stuff right here. Rushing statistics.
God. Yes.
Aaron Jones, what do you think his yards per attempt are?
I'll go with 5.6.
6.3.
That's impressive. Yeah.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at, Jamal Williams, 3.4, Ty Montgomery, 4.5, Aaron Rodgers, 6.1. Can we please get that number down? Because that just less attempts and less yardage. But 6.3 with a long of 30, which literally double eclipses everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, what is, like, okay, I hear you on Aaron Rodgers can audible out of things. I hear you on that, right? But personnel, okay?
Right.
The personnel in the play, Why? And I get you. I read your little Twitter thing like, I think that, and it makes a lot of sense. It actually makes a lot of sense.
I love
the idea that
you undercut my argument before I can make it because you've read my Twitter feed. That's good.
I know what you're going to say though. Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong.
You're right. You're 100%
okay.
Right. So please don't allow me to retort.
So, you know, it is a long game. Well, not a long game. It's 12 more games, right? It's a long season, except for when it comes to baseball. But
you're sensing a theme here, people.
But, you know, I get it. Like, you want him over time. And here, it was a shutout, right?
Right.
So in some ways, it's like I actually, if you're in a shutout position,
why would you run?
Why run him that much, right?
Exactly.
We haven't experienced a game like we did a little while ago where it didn't make any sense, where we were just kind of running into walls.
Yeah.
The kid is insane.
He's electric, no doubt.
When you watch him live, I mean, yes, on television, yes, the spin move, but you watch him and he just makes something out of nothing. It's really ridiculous.
His vision, his jump cut, everything about him is super exciting, and he's clearly the most talented. Now, remember, he got the ball more than anybody else in that game.
Yeah, he did. He did.
He got more carries than anybody else. So it's not like they're neglecting him. It's not like they're completely hiding the kid.
True.
You know, and I understand everybody tweeting me, you here sitting across from me. I get it. And as I said last week, if I was calling the play, I'd have him in there every play. I'd run him into the ground. But that's why I call plays on Madden.
That's right.
Where injuries are not a thing.
Well, and if you do that and you do them three times, if you do it three times, then they'll fumble.
They'll fumble. Exactly. So, but okay. So in the sense of McCarthy, Rodgers, who to blame, etc. Speaking of Mr. Rodgers,
yeah,
he's at it again. The passive-aggressive dance with Mike McCarthy.
Oh, dear.
We are back. It only took us 4 weeks, but we're here, people. I want the booth to roll Aaron Rodgers after. This is just a highlight clip of Aaron Rodgers taking passive-aggressive shots at Mike McCarthy.
The game. There was a little bit in the first half. After that.
Do you think it had anything to do with all the personnel combinations and things you were using? Three back, three tight ends, multiple receivers?
I mean, that's not a question for me. We need to find ways to get our playmakers in position to get some more opportunities. You know, a game like today, I mean, Devontae is a tough cover for anybody, but he should have 20 targets today. They really couldn't stop him. You know, and then they dared to play one high a few times. So we got to find ways to get him involved and Jimmy as well.
How is that done? How do you do that? Is that by play selection? Is that by reads? How does that happen?
It's by the plan. Find ways to get him in number one spots.
It's by the plan. It's by the plan. And of course, on Monday, Mike McCarthy's asked about it, and Mike totally takes the high road, as he always does. Doesn't rise to it, doesn't talk about it. Oh, I'm going to keep this internal. Aaron and I have a great relationship. Aaron Rodgers at his locker today. Oh, communicate. We're great. It's all about, we can have our differences, and then we hug it out at the end, et cetera, et cetera. It just drives me nuts. Like, I get you're frustrated. I get, like, you should have put up 600 yards and 45 points. I get it, man. But what purpose does it serve to throw shots at Mike McCarthy? Like, what does it do?
How does it
help you win football
games? Yeah, it's really weird.
Like,
it's really weird, too, because he's literally the most cerebral person in the NFL.
Who,
he's got to be, yes.
Yeah, one of them.
He knows every little breath, and he's a great actor, because he knows how he's breathing. He knows what he's saying. He knows specifically what he told you 3 months ago to a reporter who asked about something and how you phrased the question.
Right.
So clearly he's trying to do something. I've never once seen the guy do something that's just completely spontaneous.
Right.
Like, he 100% thinks about and calculates what he's doing. So it's not like you could just blame it on, like, well, Aaron was upset because the offense wasn't doing that well. You know, it's like the non-playoff comment, right?
Yeah.
That he made. Like, the offense wasn't that good. I don't understand it either. It's like, it almost feels like he's hedging and advocating so that if the Packers don't do well, it's not on Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly.
And that just,
and look,
it's weird.
But here's the thing.
It's weird.
Of course it's not Aaron Rodgers, because they just paid him $1 billion. If the choice is between Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, you know who's on the outs.
Yeah.
There's no question here. They gave Mike McCarthy an extra year on his deal to basically make him a lame duck in 2019. Like, Mike's got to win. Like, there's no question.
Yeah.
So, fine. If you want an angle to get Mike out of town, okay, fine, great. But that, how does what that we just watched, how does that help you in any way, shape, or form win football games? You got a problem with Mike? Talk to Mike. Like, this whole, like, petulant action after a game, like, it's just nonsense. By the way, a game which saw you miss 3 or 4 super easy throws that you make in your sleep on most Sundays. Clean up your own house, as Mike always says. Clean up your own house. I mean, just the airing of the petulant nonsense after a game blows my mind.
I don't understand it.
I don't get it.
Well, especially from him.
Yeah.
Like, I understand it. I understand it from Cam Newton.
Right.
I understand it from, you know, but I don't understand it from him. It doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense.
I just don't see.
You know, and maybe he is frustrated with the plan.
Because like you say.
But here's the thing.
He's calculated in everything he does.
Yeah, he is.
What purpose does this serve?
Well, and the other thing is if he really has a problem with it, guess what? There's 3 people he can go to now.
Yeah.
He can go to Mark Murphy, Ed Policy. Who else? Not Aaron Popke. He can go to, he can go to Gutekunst. He can go to three people.
Well, Gutekunst is funny too, because Gutekunst is like on level with Mike McCarthy. They're the same. Like they're, you know, Murphy is the one guy who is now, like, kind of injected himself. And I read Tom Silverstein's piece, column, at PackersNews.com this morning. I thought he made a really interesting point. A lot of people were knocking, from what I saw on social media, like, talking about Mark Murphy. Oh, you're just pumping up the drama. No, Tom is stating a fact. Mark Murphy inserted himself into football operations.
Yes, he did.
By making the moves he made this offseason. If there is a rift, and, of course, they're never going to say it publicly, but if there is a rift between the head coach and the franchise quarterback, and it continues down the line where it becomes very apparent that there is friction and maybe some kind of divide happening in the locker room, etc. Not saying that there is, because we don't know, but if there, it becomes apparent within the organization that that's going on, as Tom perfectly wrote at the end of the column, Murphy put himself into football. It is incumbent upon him to get those two talking and working together. Because the only way this team is going to win a Super Bowl this year is if those two are on the same page. That, I mean, otherwise, what are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
I mean, just throw the season away. I'm sorry, but it's pretty much that simple. And that is now all Mark Murphy. The buck stops with him on the football side because he wanted it that way. Pretty much. Speaking of the football side of things.
Yep.
To wrap up the offense. Can we talk just a little bit about third down?
Oh, dear.
Can we talk about third and long? Can we talk about mentalities?
Can we talk about the fact that you wrote the script and I naturally segued into that segment?
That's good. I thought you were doing it like
I actually didn't even realize that was the next thing. That's how brilliant you are.
It's like, I got mind games.
Third down.
It's like it flows.
third down and long.
Third and long. Can we just
oh, dear.
Do you remember, and I know I've got people on Twitter backing me up on this. Remember a time when it was third and 11 or third and 15?
And we get that.
Sometimes third and 18.
We get it.
But we think, hey, you know what? We got Aaron motherfucking Rodgers.
Yeah. We'd get
it. And then we go and we throw an 18-yard curl, come back, whatever. Or so we hit a tight end streaking down the middle of the field. He flips his wrist and it's a first down and we carry on our merry way. But now. I want the booth to roll this third down. Third and 11 here. First quarter. And we see this. This nonsense. Maybe. I mean, now, what's hilarious, and what I forgot, I'm remembering right now here live, that I forgot to get for our booth, that third and 11 draw. So I put that up on Twitter, and I wrote, just punt on third down. Like, just punt. If you're going to run that, and I get, like, it's a read, there's two safeties deep, and there's a...
But it was that play that we just showed, was that on Aaron Rodgers, or is that on Mike McCarthy?
He's got the choice. He can either hit Graham, he's got options. He can hit Graham in the flat, or he can hand it off. Now, Byron Bell gets beat, and it blows the play up.
I mean, there are third and tens I can show you in the NFL where if you got a heavy blitz package, a draw play is going to get you out of that.
Right. All of that said, so I put this up and I put on the tweet, just punt on third. Guess who liked that tweet?
Devontae Adams
liked that tweet.
Yikes.
And what's funny,
that's some inside football crap.
What's funny though is if you watch that clip, watch Devontae at the top of the clip. Like,
is he wide open?
No, he's like jogging because he knows they're not going to pick up the first down.
That's not good.
He barely like goes out to block anybody. So, you know, what happened to the mentality? Because it's not just that play, that's just representative. I can show you lots of plays this year where they've been in a lot of third and longs.
Yeah.
They're putting themselves, they're shooting themselves in the foot, moving backwards.
And that, yeah.
They keep getting in these third and longs and then running these give up 2 yard outs, little smoke screen passes that they know aren't going to pick up the first down.
Yep.
What happened? Did they get a punter all of a sudden and think, we got to show a punter off?
Speaking of, you're all excited about him, but I'm still.
I'm just searching for answers here, Banky.
Well,
it's third and long.
Well, when
you get it,
when you're sloppy, when you know you trip on your center, when you, when you know,
anybody who's ever played quarterback, and I played at a very, 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 very low level, but anybody who's played quarterback has had that happen.
Of course. When you do the little things, we talked about this last week. You drop one time in a drive, the drive's over.
Yep.
Now, to your point, it used to be that our superior offense
could overcome it.
Could overcome the littles. And the problem now is we're not overcoming the littles. And that's why I wouldn't put the offense in the bad, because I feel like if we just overcome the littles.
Yeah, but
the
littles are creating bigs.
I know.
Any of it.
But I'm a believer.
If you have to have everything perfect all of the time, you're bad. Sorry.
That's true, because you're not going to do that.
You're not executing. You start executing, you're not bad. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to talk about the Chiefs and the Rams and all these teams putting up all these points, etc. Great. You know why they're doing that? It's not because of the scheme. It's because they're executing.
That's true.
If the Packers hold on to the football, if Rodgers just hits the throws he's supposed to hit,
receivers catch
they put
balls,
up 40 points, yeah. They put up 600 yards, and no one is talking about any of this.
Yeah.
Just execute. I don't care how you like what the design or the scheme is. Just execute. It's that simple. It really is that simple.
Can we talk about defense
now? Let's talk about the defense. Let's talk about something good for a change.
Let's talk about the shutout.
How about that? What's funny? Last time, Corey Banky, you have been to both games that the Packers have shut out their opponents in the last two times that event has occurred.
Yeah.
You've been in the house.
I didn't realize that.
Yep. We were both there for the 9-0 shutout.
Oh, that was in New York, though,
wasn't it?
It was
the Jets game. You and I were in the front row?
Yeah, we were in the front row.
Front row.
Right where they come out of the tunnel.
Yep.
That was cool.
And then you were there this past Sunday. So I think you are the magic luck charm. That's pretty clear.
That's doubtful. I know I say this all the time, but I think I still have been to more Packer losses than wins.
Yeah, I think that's just the nature of being a football fan.
Yeah.
You're going
to go into a lot of games.
You're going to lose.
Yeah. Now, I have been to more playoff wins than playoff losses.
That's what I think believe it's, because but I think that's evening out.
I think it's real close.
As a whole, yeah. Like sizzle reel of you being disappointed at playoff.
That's true.
Playoff games. Yeah, I mean, it was the first complete performance for the defense. There's no doubt about that.
And it's kind of amazing, and I really feel like it's been underplayed. I was watching some of Larry McCarron's videos, which thank goodness he's pointing out like some of the coverage sacks that we had, some of the like blanket coverage, Martinez on guys in the middle, like just linebackers covering guys, which are things that like I would never say before, like because they never happened,
never saw them.
Right?
Exactly.
So there were some amazing things, and you know, I think this is everybody's hope is that. It's not just that the Bills' offense is terrible, which I think is a little bit.
Well, the quarterback is young. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, I think there's that. But I'm hoping they can put together, you know, another complete game like this because there's nothing better for their confidence. There's nothing better for this team than to get that. And when was the last time the Green Bay Packers could hang their hat on the defense?
Yeah, it's been a while. They did it for a stretch in 2014. They had to. As the offense was finding its way.
It's been a while. I don't even remember that.
But one of the things, you mentioned coverage sacks. One of the things we've seen is the versatility in the secondary. It's really interesting how the infusion of talent, young talent, and Mike Pettine's scheme have really kind of brought the versatility factor, whether it's, you know, Jair Alexander playing inside or outside. Whitehead, a safety who's been kind of, you know, on the periphery, so to speak, the last year or so. He's playing an integral part of that dime safety look. And, you know, HaHa Clint Dix playing down in the box, playing back, playing Bryce playing free, playing strong. Like, there's so much versatility in the secondary. And I think Pettine's use of that without – now, here's the thing. Like, it's fine to be versatile, but if that's causing communication issues, if that's causing confusion, that's what we saw the last two or three years
with
Capers. There's all this versatility, but it seems like it's disciplined for the first time in forever, which is great, which is obviously encouraging. But like you said, you hope this is a springboard. You hope this is, yes, it was against a young quarterback. You can't dismiss the level of competition.
But the Vikings.
Yep.
That's what I go they back on. Every time I'm like, you know what it was making me think? Remember when I used to cut the show?
Oh, yeah.
I remember I just was thinking of a time when, like, I didn't listen to you as much as when I cut the show. So you would say, you would do a thing.
Right.
And then I would look up.
And, be like,
and I would like agree, and I but I had no idea what, and it just I don't know why I was just thinking about that. I was like,
you weren't listening to me.
I was like, no, I was like, I can actually listen. I was like, I don't remember why. How can I can listen to Nagler? Oh, that's right. You used to do this thing.
I'm not cutting the show live as we speak.
Yeah, that's sorry. I got a little distracted.
I understand. You got to nerd out sometimes. It's all good. But you know, the defense. You know, talking about the defense. Can we just for a second? Just for a second. Can we talk about Clay Matthews?
Mm. Can we?
I don't know, because every time you talk about Clay Matthews, whether it's to another Packer fan in real life, whether it's online, Twitter, what have you, it seems everyone wants to jump to, oh, Matthews is done, he's horrible, he's awful, he's making all this money.
That's how
he gets erased every play, blah, blah, blah.
That's how I feel about the Green Bay Packers in general.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's
like,
almost that same mentality.
Like,
he's not awful.
Can we just
that first game, though,
pause?
That first game.
Yeah, he was bad. He was so bad week one.
And then
he was bad.
Can the NFL, okay, can we just, how many gimmies are they going to give us back?
All right. I didn't put it in the script because I didn't want to address it because I didn't want to get upset. But yes, the competition committee.
No, because every time, no, Nagler, because every time I want to talk about the damn refs, you're like, oh, you want to talk about the refs again? Yes, I want to talk about the refs. I want to talk about how terrible they are. Can we please, 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 can we have refs who don't suck? They are so bad. I was booing more at the refs last Sunday than I think I've ever booed in my life, except for like the Arizona game and the playoffs.
Right.
What is going on? What the hell is going on? I thought making this centralized thing to New York was going to make it better, and it hasn't.
Nope. But here's the thing.
It's worse.
It's because of the competition committee. They are the biggest culprits here. When you are having wild swings of what is and isn't a foul in huge, huge changes, and you're clarifying rules and you're emphasizing things. That's all well and good, but when you do it every single offseason.
Oh my God.
And you push these, oh, we want this enforced, we want this emphasized.
And every week, you change every week.
And then every week, you're reviewing stuff and saying, well, this isn't this, and we want more of that, we want less of this, this shouldn't have been a foul. What I mean, the refs in the NFL, the refs who ref NFL games, are actually, of all the major sports, they're the best. It's not even close. I will accept no, don't at me, as they say on Twitter.
I'm adding
because you
right
watch,
now.
You
I
watch
don't
a baseball
agree with
game.
That. I don't agree with
you watch
that.
A baseball game and look at the percentage they get wrong in that sport. You look at the NBA, freaking A, are you kidding me? I mean, whole games, just completely unwatchable. The NFL has an issue with the competition committee completely pushing these agendas each and every offseason. And it's exacerbated this year because they had a whole slew of like veteran refs who got wind of what they were changing and said, yeah, I'm out.
Later. Hockey Lee.
Hockey Lee, Sterator, all these. Triplett. Maybe that's not
thank the
us.
Lord. But, oh, thank you. Jeff Triplett is
but,
gone. Now he's so like a consultant for somebody.
He's on ESPN. He's
oh, my God.
Expert.
Why would you do that?
But so you've got.
He's the worst.
This new kind of breed, this new influx of officiating, which is fine. But like Mina Kimes from ESPN put up earlier this afternoon, defensive holding calls, like, you know, pass tugging on the receiver's jersey, holding his arm, whatever. Those calls are up triple from where they were last year.
It's ridiculous.
How is, like, how are you supposed to play defense
this
in this league?
This is my
you can't whisper in the quarterback's ear.
This is my
you
other problem.
You can't even begin to approach a wide receiver down the field. Like, they just want points. They want their fucking quarterbacks on television looking sexy. That's all they care about. But they don't care about football.
But this is my other problem.
They care about images on television and points.
It's almost like a microcosm of our economy, right?
Oh boy, here we go.
You want to have the guy who's making multiple millions of dollars completely protected because that's your sport. So you crap on the 3-year journeyman.
Of course.
Who that whole like $40,000 game thing to a $24,000 fine is insane.
Yep.
So the poor get poorer.
Yep.
And the rich get richer. Mm-hmm. And
get protected.
It's ridiculous. And meanwhile, a running back, what happens when Aaron Jones goes out of the season because they hit him in the head and then they don't call the play? It's like, I know consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. Right. I understand that, right? But if we could just get a little consistency.
I know.
And the biggest problem
is. But it's never going to happen because of the competition.
It's not going to happen.
I'm telling you.
And here we are in week four. Here we are in week four. It's almost like they needed a preseason. It's like the first 3 weeks were preseason for the NFL.
And guess what? It cost the Packers a victory.
It cost the Packers.
Again.
Almost two victories.
Again.
Really, if you want to think about it.
Again.
It definitely cost them the victory.
And now we have the Vikings game.
Well, and at least they admitted it, I guess.
Well, kind of. They leaked it through Ian Rappaport. I mean, just come out and put out a statement. Ian Rappaport, like, according to sources, what? Oh, give me a break.
But here's the thing.
You work for the NFL Network.
Why can't it work retroactively? If it's not a foul,
right?
Shouldn't we get something?
Yeah. But, like, you know, the Vikings could say, well, theirs wasn't a foul either.
So okay, but not on the game, but in the future. So in the next Vikings game, we're up 7.
That ain't going to happen.
That would be so sweet.
I like it.
You do need to put an asterisk on this NFL season.
So, wait.
You need to put an asterisk. We are all of the offensive stats are BS, okay?
Well, yeah, but they've been BS since they liberalized the passing rules. That's why Drew Brees shouldn't be allowed to have the record for most games consecutively played with a touchdown pass without an asterisk next to it. You know why? Because you know whose record he beat? Johnny Unitas, who actually went up against real defenses.
Well, that's the thing. When people are like, oh, Bart Starr wasn't a real quarterback. Are you kidding me?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Are you kidding me?
That's ridiculous.
Well, no, when not real quarterback. Well, they don't put him in the top 10.
Right.
And I'm like, what? He basically,
he is one of the most underrated quarterbacks of all time.
He is the most underrated.
Can we get back to Clay Matthews?
Yes.
Because I just want to make this point before we get to blogosphere. You know, Clay Matthews, everyone just wants to hate on him. Hate.
And I don't understand why.
Yes,
either.
Week one was poor. It was pretty
it was really bad.
It was pretty darn bad.
It was like Clay.
But since then, week two on, he's played well. He's hit the quarterback so much that national television is talking about him every week.
Yeah.
Yet you're sitting here hating on him. Oh, Clay Matthews gets erased. Clay Matthews disappears. Are you kidding? He is affecting the pocket. He's affecting the quarterback. He is he's literally tackling the quarterback every week.
And he's not afraid to. Although there's a play where I think you tweeted it, somebody tweeted it, where you can definitely tell that this has taken a toll on the way he plays.
Yeah.
Now, to his credit, he makes a lot of money, and he is not one of those guys. I feel like he's actually, like, pushed. This last game, he pushed further than that, where he was like, okay, fine, find me. Like, but there are some pull-up plays, and that's really the sadness, right?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, we talk about flag football, but I really do feel like if they put two flags on the quarterback, it would be a better game.
Yeah, I can't get that.
It'd be better than now.
I think we're headed there.
It'd be better than now.
Well, we don't know because this past weekend was totally different. You know, the emphasis was clearly lessened and we had fewer roughing the passer penalties. So it's like, I guess it depends which month you want to tune in. This month we're going to have roughing the passer month. Next month it could be illegal contact month. Like, that's what I mean. The competition committee screws all of this up.
Well, and they can because they're the richest owners.
Owners, GMs, what have you, but yeah, I'm sick of them.
They're the rich of the rich.
They're ruining the NFL more than the NFL is itself, and that's saying something. Are you ready, Corey Banky? I'm excited. We've got time to maybe break down Packers versus Lions real quick.
Oh my goodness.
Real quick. We got like 5 minutes. I just want to say we're going into the Lions. I know kind of, I guess the national feeling I get around them, at least looking online, is that they're not very good. And I'm here to tell you, this Lions team is a lot better than some people think. I think they got that beat down in week one and everyone was ready to write them off. Clearly, they I think, maybe to some people, surprised the Patriots. They lost down in Dallas. That's a game they easily could have won. I'm telling you, this team is no pushover.
They're still the Lions, though. I don't know. Sorry, I know you wanted to. I don't know. I just can't. I can't. It's the Lions.
Their rookie running back, Kerryon Johnson, that kid is legit. He is legit. And it's funny, he's kind of their Aaron Jones in that he's not getting the ball enough either. Like, he's really good, though. He could give the Packers some problems. He's got the moves. He's got the power. And they do a good job of getting him free. And he's somebody who he's going to be an issue. And I hate that he's a rookie because I think he's going to be an issue for a while. And all three wide receivers.
There's a lot of Lions players that we've said that about.
I mean.
And then they weren't.
One of them was Golden Tate.
Yeah.
He's been an issue.
Oh, Golden Tate.
Look at Jones, their wide receiver. He's been there. He's been killing us for years.
You know, here's what's sad. We said the words Fail Mary and Golden Tate in the same episode. We need to burn this episode to the ground.
Yep. All three of those guys can hurt you. Galloway last year, he killed him. We've seen Golden Tate kill him. Jones has been making a living killing him. It's a problem. And Stafford, hell, Stafford.
Yeah.
He's an issue. But the silver lining in this game, the one kind of saving grace for the Packers, especially if they have the banged up wide receiver core that it looks like they're going to have, the Packers should be able to run all over this team.
Good. Let's get Aaron Jones 100 yards because he deserves it.
Their run defense is not good. Now, that said, you know, it's any given Sunday. You never know. Every week, you got to come, got to bring your A game. But this is a team the Packers should be able to road grade. And maybe they go that way. Maybe they try and play some ball control, keep Matt Stafford off the field. That's fine by me.
I'm excited to watch it. We're going to have the watch party, people.
Another watch party. Yes. Hey, what about Gaff? I mean, I want to give a shout out to our producer, Gaff.
He's cutting the show right now.
He's producing this show today, but he was also, if you tuned into the watch party, Corey was, as he said, at Lambeau Field. I was here watching the game, and Gaff was in the booth.
I was watching it at Lambeau Field.
Poor Gaff. Gaff came in, he was all ready. He told me, like, I got some surprises for you. And I was like, oh, this is great. I was like, all ready for it. And, like, they never scored. He had all this like stuff planned, and then they never score. I think they got in the red zone one time.
Yeah.
And Gaff had like a special red Bills jersey he was going to put on for the red zone, but then they never got back to the reds. I felt bad for him.
Well, what was funny is because we didn't have IFB. He'd be talking, and you didn't realize he was talking.
Early
it was
on,
hilarious.
Early on, I couldn't hear him, but as the show went on, I could hear him. And
gotcha. We'll work that out. Well, really? I will be cutting the show this weekend.
I know. You and I. So make sure you're here, Cheesehead TV, on our YouTube page.
Yep.
Watch party as the Packers take on the Lions. It's gonna be a good time. Seems that people like it.
It gets more views than this show.
What I love is like I went back and watched it and I'm like, it's literally me sitting there for like
3 hours.
A minute, 2 minutes, like saying absolutely nothing.
Yeah, when we're
and
on I together, drink a beer, we say more.
And then I go, oh come on. And then quiet again. And then I like that. And quiet again. That got like twice as many views as transplants last week.
That should tell you something.
I think that shows where we are in the pecking order. All right, I'm ready. I'm ready for the blogosphere. There's a lot to get to. We have a very special guest this week. Let's get to it. I'm pumped. Let's do it.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right. It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere. The return of that venerable series. I don't know why it's venerable, but I like the way it sounds. Corey, this week we got a special guest.
Very special.
Joining us on Skype.
Here we go.
We got Matt, but you can call me Matub.
Matub.
They call me Matub. Joining us on Skype. You know him. You love him. He does the hottest takes of the week, and we had to have him on. To talk some
I hear him laughing.
Hot takes.
I don't see him yet.
Oh, there he is.
Gentlemen.
What's up, Matub? How are you, buddy? Oh, no, we can't hear you. We can't hear you.
Well, I heard him before.
We had him before. I can't hear you now.
Oh.
Is that him? Is that us? Oh, no.
What's happening, guys?
There he is.
There we go. There we go.
There we go. You can hear me? Okay, here we go. I got a question for you. You are famous for the hot take of the week.
Hey,
talking about the hot takes. Who's in your firing line this week?
Yeah. Yes. So this week, I have to go back to a take that I addressed a couple weeks ago with your old buddy, Ryan Wood. I roasted him for his Twitter, how he makes these incredibly definitive tweets, these like end all be all, there's no way around it tweets, and then gets ratioed for it. So I roasted him for it, like an entire episode of like, this is why Ryan Wood's Twitter is a must follow. And he did it again this week. And it's like, damn it, Ryan, did you not? So when Rodgers had that tip pass, Ryan said, Jimmy Graham has made more athletic plays in his career than that one. And Aaron Rodgers has made better throws. In a word, oof. And it's like, so then immediately he gets like a bunch of responses. And they're like, hey, bro, that was tipped at the line. And then he finally goes, oh, it was tipped at the line of scrimmage. Tough to see. Thanks. Sorry. Like, stop it. Like, give everything a second to just like percolate a little bit and really see what's going on. But so I'm going to talk about Ryan's Twitter feed a little bit more. But the big one is this season I have these traveling takes and these takes that have been going at it all year. And I've talked about Jordy Nelson and whatnot, but the big take this year is the TJ Watt versus Kevin King.
Oh,
and
yes.
So now I have to have this TJ Watt tracker every week. How did TJ Watt do versus how did Kevin King do? And because King hasn't played for a little while, it's been kind of tough. And so if I was to tell you that there was a linebacker who got 3 sacks and 4 solo tackles in a game, that would be pretty good, right?
Oh, no.
That's what TJ Watt did week one against the Browns. He got 4 solo tackles and 3 assists.
Right.
Well, you know who else got 4 solo tackles and 3 sacks in a game? Was Kyler the Freak Fackrell.
Oh, dear.
So this week, I'm going to have to go after – people are going to say, okay, well, how did T.J. Watt play this week? How did Kevin King play? Well, Kevin King didn't play. T.J. Watt had once again – T.J. Watt once again had a couple tackles, no sacks. And so we're now talking about an outside linebacker who got 3 sacks against a bad offensive line, and that's it.
Oh, I love it.
So essentially, we could have spent a first-round pick on Kyler Fackrell.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
And that's really what's going on this week is the traveling takes. And also I'm going to have to talk about.
Oh, did we lose you?
I don't know. We had lost him. I think there's some kind of delay. Yeah.
It was a bad delay.
That was great.
But Tub,
though,
I'm just going to say, I love your stuff. Keep it up. Hottest takes of the week. You're an absolute legend. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, no. I just had a... Okay, there we go.
Matub, we love you, buddy.
There was a big, big delay there.
Yeah, there is. We'll talk to you soon. Hey, it's live. What are you going to do?
Nothing you can do.
But I just wanted to have Matub on.
Yeah, it was great.
I love Hottest Takes of the Week.
It was funny. The delay was so long that when I was watching it on Facebook, it actually was in time.
Oh, well, you know, you got to get those hot takes off on the internet. Matub is there waiting to pounce. Make sure you check him out. His stuff for Acme Packing Company, his stuff on YouTube, it's all great. Speaking of great, the great Rob Domofsky wrote something earlier this week talking about the blogosphere. He talked about Russ Ball, talking about how he kind of threw it in there as an aside, but it kind of blew up on Packer Geek Internet, Twitter sphere, about Russ Ball making decisions for Ted Thompson at the end of Ted Thompson's tenure.
Oh, dear.
And essentially saying that Russ Ball was the one who allowed Micah Hyde to walk. And that Russ Ball was the one who allowed Julius Peppers to walk. And that got me thinking. And, like, of course, that's terrible. because Russ Ball has no business making those kinds of decisions. He's a numbers guy, not a scout, but okay. But it had me thinking. Everyone was asking me my opinion on it, and I don't really have an opinion on it because it happened. We're here. We're many years removed. But I would like to share one Russ Ball story from my time on the beat, which was a good time. So we're down in Dallas. This is the game that ended with Aaron throwing to Devontae twice in the end zone, and they scored the touchdown and win. But at halftime of that, or no, it was pregame in that game. I'm down on the field level doing like Facebook Live before the game, blah, blah, blah. And we get done, and I go into the elevator, and there's a family, you know, mom, dad, two kids. The little boy had a cast on and was on crutches. And I'm waiting in the elevator, and there's a family, a couple other people, and then Alonzo Highsmith walks in. He's in the elevator going up the press box, much like I am. And total jokingly, you know, Alonzo says, well, you must play for the Green Bay Packers because everyone's hurt, you know? And it's funny. We all laugh. And the Packers were dealing with a lot of injuries that week, as they always are. But it was funny.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little joke and aside. And everyone laughed and, you know, put everyone at ease. It was great.
Yeah.
So I get up to the press box and I tweet it out. I say,
Nagler.
I get into the elevator. Kid is in the cast. Alonzo gets in and says, you must play for the Green Bay Packers. Great response. Everyone takes it in the nature of which it was intended. It's a joke. They're really hurt. Ha, ha, ha. The world goes on. Except, apparently, for the Twitter feed of one Mr. Russ Ball, who, yes, is on Twitter.
I was about to say, doesn't he have like 200 followers?
And is monitoring things as they pertain to the Green Bay Packers. I only know this because shortly after the start of the game, I get a message from Alonzo saying, dude, you got to take that tweet down. See, I got reamed out by Russ Ball. I said, really? He's like, yeah, dude, it's like North Korea here. And I was like, damn. So I take down the tweet because I don't want it. You know, I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble. It was funny. It was a joke, like an aside. And Russ Ball gets all upset. Russ Ball, who I've never met at this point when this tweet went up, had never met, had never spoken to, had never made eye contact with. Now, fast forward to the following week. This is actually the week where Aaron gets hurt last year. And we're in Minnesota. I come up to the press box. I set my stuff down. I go, you know, I think I was getting a water or a coffee or something in the food area. And I come back and I literally come around the corner and there's Russ Ball coming around the other corner. And we literally almost run into each other. And we look right at each other and he looks at me right in the eye and goes, hi, Aaron. And just keeps walking. And I'm like, yeah, I'm on to you, buddy. I know you're monitoring my Twitter feed. I know what's up. So every time I tweet, I'll just give a little shout out to Russ Ball. What's up, buddy? I hope you enjoy the show.
I don't think he will. He's watching.
I hope you like the show. I hope you like the Twitter. I hope you like everything. People, just remember, when you're tweeting about the Packers, Russ Ball is watching. That's all I got to say. That's my Russ Ball story. I hope everyone enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. I'm sad you had to take that tweet down.
I know. Well, it was funny. I mean, what? It's like taking it too far. Too far.
It's easy to do.
It's just funny.
It's easy to do.
Allow people to be human beings, you know? Why you gotta make it like that? Like, it's football. Have some fucking fun. Be able to have a laugh at your own expense. Like, yes, the Packers are hurt.
Yeah, it sucks. It's the reality.
What else is new?
Yeah, exactly.
You play football. It's the NFL. Guys get hurt a lot. Like.
Also, what does taking that tweet down matter?
At all, right? Anyway, well, to be clear, Russ Ball didn't ask him to ask me to take the tweet down. Alonzo wanted me to take the tweet down because he didn't want to piss Russ Ball off any more than he already was.
Yeah.
It's just whack, man. It's just stupid. Yeah, I don't get that kind of mentality. Like, you know me. I'm always self-deprecating. I'm always like, yeah, I'm taking the piss, as the English might say. But, like, this buttoned up, I'm not allowed to joke about this very serious matter. Like, give me a break. That's all I wanted to say. Hey, but on a more positive tip.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Dan Slutkin. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Yep.
In jolly old England.
England.
He won this hat with the tweet, with the hashtag Packer Transplants.
That was a great tweet.
At Cheesehead TV with video of their celebration during the Bears game week one, the monster comeback. That was awesome.
As soon as he posted that, I knew he was going to win.
I did too. And the hat's on its way, buddy.
It's right here.
It's so here, it's, but then it will be on its way.
It's slowly.
It's making its way across its pond. Well, actually, the pond would be that way. So. East is that way. West is that way. So we're good.
Going that way.
But it will be to you soon. Congratulations. Thanks for the tweets.
And Tom Grassi.
Next week. In studio.
YouTube celebrity.
YouTube sensation.
YouTube influencer.
If you are a member of Grassi Posse, you are in for a treat.
Yep.
Because he will be here.
In studio. No idea how we're going to do that camera work.
We got all week.
But we're going to figure it out.
Break the world, Banky.
We're going to figure it out. And, you know, I just want to let Packer fans out there, because most of the people watching this show are Packer fans.
I hope so. They're going to be really bored.
Just know I got your back. I know all this Brewer stuff for some of you.
Here we go.
Is a little annoying.
See, well, why is it annoying? Why is like people being excited about a team that rarely makes the postseason making the postseason? Why is that annoying?
This is the Packers' time.
Traditionally, yes.
No. Okay? Mm-hmm. This is the time for the Green Bay Packers. Okay, there's no other time in my schedule. There's barely time in my schedule for you.
No, I'm aware.
Okay? Yeah. I don't have a problem. You know, I do think the celebration, people are giving me crap on Twitter. I do think celebrating and then celebrating like a week later, and then what are they going to do? How do you top that? You don't. You just keep throwing champagne out. I do think that's weird. Like, I go back to Vince Lombardi. Vince Lombardi had a quote, which I actually don't agree with when he used the quote, because I do think doing celebrations in the end zone is a big deal, and I think it's cool. But, and Vince Lombardi would tell, there's the story, and he's like, act like you've been there before. Right. And I know the Brewers haven't been there before, and I get it. Hey, great. Awesome. Milwaukee.
Fifth time in
Milwaukee
franchise history.
Is in Wisconsin, but let's not forget, okay? Let's not be distracted by what is important, okay? That's all I have to say about that. No, it's not actually, because it's really annoying, okay? It's very annoying. The Bucks and the Brewers, yay! They have their teams in Wisconsin.
But you don't care, and I get that. It's fine. It's cool, man. It's cool.
Dude, I'm about to like unfollow people if they put stuff about the Brewers in my feed.
I'm just gonna, one thing.
Especially TV people. All that, no, your favorite, all the TV reporters who are like, oh, this is so great. I'm in there and I'm doing the thing. It's like, dude, what? Like, what?
Okay, wait.
It's so annoying.
In defense.
It's annoying.
Remember, I'm allowed one defense.
It's annoying.
Of Brewers fans here. Mm. One defense. And this is me. This is my personal experience. And this is the only reason I am so connected to their success. And I think you could appreciate this, given you your family, how important the Packers and family are to you. That's your connection. You know, you sit in your grandpa's seats in Lambeau.
Yeah.
The Brewers' success and the fact that they're not only in the postseason, but they have a legit chance of making the World Series.
They do, which would be amazing.
Which would be amazing. Now, I'm not, there's a lot of ball game left. I get all that. But Bob Uecker.
Yes.
The fact that he is
Love
there.
Love me some Bob Uecker.
The fact that he is there, and the fact that I, from like earliest memories, my earliest memory in my life is my grandfather taking me to Lambeau when I was 3 years old. 3 years old. In his seats.
Mm-hmm.
That's my earliest memory. After that, the pervasive memory that I have of childhood is listening to Bob Uecker with my dad in the summer. And for a long time, I was out on the Brewers. They were a small market team that couldn't compete.
No salary cap.
Why would I bother?
Yeah.
The MLB at-bat app changed everything. It brought me completely back into the Brewers because I had Bob Uecker in my living room or in my kitchen or wherever I
Whenever
was
you
on
wanted
my
him.
Deck. Wherever and whenever they were playing, instantly I was back. Instantly I was calling my dad and talking to him about the game. Instantly I was like that kid again when the Brewers went to the World Series. And to me, it's that connection that I think, obviously not everyone, some people are just like Brewers fans and that's fine, but like to me, that's why I'm excited. It's that rekindling of Bob Uecker, my dad, and the Brewers.
That's great.
And that, to me, is why I'm excited.
That's all great. I mean, doesn't excuse the fact that Major League Baseball is still broken, right? Like, the whole entire sport is broken.
I get all that.
And it's great. It's great that they're in the postseason. I think it's amazing. But my biggest problem is we are just...
It's Packer time. I know.
It's Packer time.
I feel you. And hey, it would be great if the Packers started acting like it. They've been like stumbling and starting and stopping throughout the month of September. Hey, it's October. How about a complete game on both sides of the ball?
I mean, we just had a shutout, Nagler.
Yeah, where the offense stumbled throughout most of the proceedings.
They scored zero.
We'll see what happens on Sunday.
They scored zero. Also, I got two words for you about the Brewers.
Yeah?
Raleigh Fingers.
I'm all in on Raleigh.
Okay?
Oh, wait. You have to give a shout-out to somebody. I can't read your
Oh, yeah. I want to give a shout-out to Kyle Petty and his dad from Virginia who drove out, and I got to meet them at in Green Bay. And
oh, very nice.
They are probably the only two people currently watching this show on the Amazon Fire Stick.
Oh, nice. We'll have to go look at the numbers for that next
week. Yeah.
But thanks a lot for tuning in, guys. Thanks a lot to everybody for tuning in. That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who connects with us across the internet, wherever it may be, here at Cheesehead TV. You guys really help make this a unique fan experience. That's why Corey and I are here. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packer fans worldwide.
Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out, any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.